Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Lives in Jersey via Staten Island, Brooklyn, and now South Carolina, folks. I don't know. Charleston? Where, Chris? Where in South Carolina, buddy?
Yeah, I'm an old Gamecock, you know. Southern boy, man. Southern boy.
I'm, of course, referring to the presser today, man. That was awesome.
I haven't got my you-know-what broken like this in a long time. Everybody's texting me. People haven't heard from going, I didn't realize you're from South Carolina, Chris.
That was great, dude.
So people, I guess Jerry will explain a little bit. People don't know yet. Today on the Brian Daboll's presser, I open my mouth and Dable says, I see you from South Carolina. And at first I was like, I realized at first what he was saying. I was just like, no, actually I'm from Brooklyn. He goes, yeah, no, I know.
That was awesome.
So whatever, I stood out with my mouth. And I actually grabbed him after the presser. I said, so coach, I like to break my balls a little bit, huh? South Carolina guy? And he goes, dude, he goes, it doesn't come more to New York than you. As soon as you open your mouth, I know it. Even like that, so... a good down-to-earth guy, man. You know, really, that was the reputation on him. And I know, Jerry, we're going to have a guest on in a little while that covered him up in Buffalo. And you can see it, man. He's just a knock-around guy, real good personality, just seems like a guy you just want to go out and have a beer with. And he mentioned that. He goes, hey, we're going to have some beers, everybody, one day, you know. And that's the type of guy he seems to be, you know. So... look, Jerry, this means crap.
Yeah, sure.
This right. all means shit, bro. It all depends on winning football games and all that. But I put on Twitter today, and I was thinking about it on the way home, and it was just a breath of fresh air. Like the whole building needed it. It needed a breath of fresh air, and because it was a little tense with Judge. And, you know, he didn't have that relationship with the media. He was always respectful, Joe, but, you know, he could be a little intense and all that. And everything was just football, football, you know. And sometimes you got to show the other side, you know, and Jerry. And just be a little light. You know, I wasn't the only one. He broke his balls today. He broke a few other guys. He was getting on them a little bit. Just trying to, you know, just lightening the mood, dude. Instead of the just, all right, here I am, we're going to coach. Let's go. We're going to coach. I'm the coach. We're going to, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And look, this all means nothing until the games start and he can make some decisions and throwing in game and X's and O's and getting players to play to their strengths. And that's what it's all about, you know, wins and losses. But it was a breath of fresh air, dude. I don't know how you saw it, Jerry, man, but it was refreshing. It's been, you know, Shermer's tenure didn't end well with us, the media. Judge, we all know how that ended up with that 11-minute rant that he went on. And now this guy comes in and he's like, from a guy like your favorite uncle, let's go have some beers and we'll go to the racetrack and, you know, and let's go bet some ponies today. You know, like that type of guy.
Yeah, it was a breath of fresh air. You covered it well. You said it well. This is our first podcast since the hiring, so... Yeah, this was always the one that made the most sense, bringing in Shane and Dable together, like a, you know, very collaborative effort that the, you know, we see going forward. And Look, like you said, it's breath of fresh air. He seemed very, very real, but it doesn't mean anything till, you know, till the games start and the practices start and all that. And you want to see improvement in this team over the next few years. And what I like is he understands that you have to win now. There's none of this grace. It doesn't seem like he realizes there's no real grace period. They don't want to go through this again in 2 years. But at the same time, you have to start winning games. Now, no one thinks they're going to win next year, but stranger things have happened. But you're building towards probably 2023. But I liked it. It seemed like there was a sense of urgency with him, Chris. I don't know if you felt the same way, but it seemed like he kind of gets like, yeah, things need to improve pretty quickly around here.
Yeah, and there's none of that. They don't, you know, even when Joe Shane spoke to us last week, there's none of that, oh, well, guys, you know, next year we're just going to be rebuilding and we're throwing the towel in next year. No. They feel they could, you know, do some things and be very competitive next year. There's none of that attitude around. I could tell you that right now, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's the attitude. Now, taking some nuggets away from the presser today, I could tell you that Patrick Graham, and he confirmed it today, he will be the coordinator if he doesn't land the Viking job.
Right.
So, just an update. I put it on Twitter this afternoon. Somebody whispered in my ear that, you know, Graham is going to interview with the Vikings again. So, it's looking better and better that he might land that job. Okay.
Yeah.
Not definite. These things always change until it's announced, until signatures on the paper, on the contract. Nothing's official. But he is going back to talk to the Vikings again. That I know. Harbaugh was a guy that Minnesota was going to talk to, or maybe they even did talk to. I'm not even quite sure on that. But it seems like Harbaugh is using the Vikings as leverage. He wants a little bit more out of Michigan. And Jim Harbaugh is Jim Harbaugh, okay? All right, so from what I understand, the Vikings are going to be a pretty much a hard pass on that one. Things could change. That's what I'm hearing, which opens it up more for Patrick Graham. But if it doesn't work out there, he's got a job here. Dable today said it, confirmed it, that Graham will be here, and then Joe Shane confirmed it to me afterwards. Saying that, depending on what happens in Minnesota, you know, he's going to be back here with us. So Joe Shane said he was very impressed with Graham. And loved his intelligence, loved his fire and everything like that. So that's the story for you Patrick Graham fans, you know. And I think basically the majority of Giant fans would like to see him back, Jerry, running the defense.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Running the defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
The offensive side of the ball, look, they didn't mention any names. But it's no secret. They're trying to get Ken Dorsey over here from the Buffalo Bills, the quarterback's coach. Okay, now, Sean McDermott is going to promote him to offensive coordinator. But, a lot of times, it comes down to the old De Niro. And the Giants are trying to get Dorsey. But it's going to come down to contract, money, and all that. So they're not out of the woods yet with that, but I'm pretty sure McDermott's going to promote him, and we'll see if he stays or not. But the Giants are making a pitch. Dable's making a pitch to bring him over here. We'll see if it happens.
Chris, Dable seemed to have the same answer with regard to Daniel Jones as Shane did. You think they're being sincere that they like Daniel Jones and that they – yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I do, Jerry. Look, Jerry – after the first Zoom interview with Dable, Adam Peters, and somebody else, I forget who it was, I was telling you personally, and I was putting on Twitter that, hey, these guys like Daniel. They like Daniel. So, things could always change, Jerry, but I think, you know, when Dable spelled it out today about Daniel, he basically said, we're going to build around this kid. We're going to build to his strengths, and we got to help him. You got to help them. They like Daniel, Jerry. They like Daniel. You know, now, we'll see it as it progresses. You know what I mean? As the process moves along, we're going to see. You know, it could be a matter of two. You know, we like him. But there's also nobody else. So we're going to go with this kid next year, you know. We're not trading for Russell Wilson. Forget about the Watsons and all that. You know, Aaron Rodgers. Forget about all that. That ain't happening, you know.
Yeah.
But they do like him. They like what he... You know, they like what he brings to the table, and they're going to try to make it work, Jerry, in 2022 with Daniel, you know?
One of the things he said that I liked was play to his strengths and see what, you know, talk to these guys, see what they like about the offense, see what they like about, you know, whether offense or defense. But I'm specifically thinking about the offense because of how putrid it's been for the past few years. But play to their strengths, see what they do well, see what they like, and I like that approach. And I'm hoping, look, we said it all along, we hope Daniel Jones is the guy. You don't want to have to start over there. It would be so much easier if he was the guy. And no one's expecting him to be Josh Allen, guys. But for what you saw under Shurmur, you would hope he would take the next step from there and kind of just put the last 2 years in the rear view, because he does have a lot of talent. It's just a matter of kind of putting it all together and now gaining some confidence. But something you said real quick before, Chris, about kind of changing the mood in the whole facility. One of the things John Mara said to you guys I thought was awesome was that you're all getting a large Pepsi on the way out. I thought like that there alone tells you, like, you know, maybe there's a little light. Like, there's got to be a sense of relief, right, on his side. Like you don't know if you have the guys, but you're feeling very good about who you just brought in to kind of lead this going forward, both the GM and the head coach.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, Jerry, he felt good about Judge 2 years ago, too, and he felt good about Shurmur. So, look, everybody's feeling good now, but it's going to come down to, as everything else, you know. You know, Jerry, yeah. I'm walking out of the building today, and Paul Schwartz from the New York Post, you know, he sees me in the parking lot. He goes, "Chris, you think maybe we could stop doing this every 2 years?" You know, and I said, "Paul, I said, that's the goal, bro. I mean, because this is getting monotonous now." You know, like, I said to Paul, I said, are we going to have this conversation in 2 years from now? You know, you know, so I mean, so that's the goal. You know, the goal is that these guys get it right and, you know, and get it going and start building in a positive way and all that. So, and everything's, look, Mara feels they got the two guys now, but. You know, I'm not going to bullshit you, Jerry. They felt that for the last couple of hires, you know.
It's a good point.
So it all comes down to, you know, let's see what these guys do, starting with the draft and starting with training camp and obviously next September when the games start and, you know, how it goes. So a couple of things. Dable, you know, he didn't commit to calling plays today, Jerry. He said, you know, he might let the coordinator call plays and he just oversees the CEO type. So he didn't commit to that. You know,
do you have a preference? Just curious.
I don't like to see my head coach calling plays. I like to see him being like that CEO on the sideline. You know.
Yeah.
But look, some of the better head coaches. As a matter of fact, the two guys in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks, they call their own plays. You know.
Yeah.
I think it takes away from some things, but. You know, I can't argue against it. You know, Jerry, I like the whole CEO type thing on the sideline. But Dable's used to call him plays, and we'll see. He basically left the door open for that. He might do it. He might not. You know?
Yeah.
He put up some interesting points today about how he had to change. He had to change his personality over the years. He said when he first started out, he was a real hard ass. And he told a story today. That when he was with Belichick in New England, he was in charge of the scout team, and this was on the side. This wasn't the presser, Jerry. This was on the side after he spoke to us afterwards.
Good.
So people go, don't look for it, people. It's on his. It was something he met with us afterwards, and he's telling a story about, you know, he was in charge of the scout team and they messed up something, you know, and he was going off, and somebody taps him on the shoulder and it's Willie McGinnis. And he said, "Hey, little man, calm it down with that." He goes, "You're not going to last in this league. Keep doing that." And he looked at him and he said, he goes, "I still love Willie Mack to this day." He goes, "That was great advice he gave me, you know." And he said, you know, he was, when he was with Cleveland and, you know, some other teams, he said he was a little too much. Oh, he said, and I had to change. There's a point when I'm making this. He had to change his personality. Right. He says a lot of players were getting turned off by it. They won't trust him. They just thought he was like trying to be like a Belichick or a Saban hard ass.
Yeah.
And I learned, and he said it, he goes, I learned from those guys. And they weren't like that. They could be really hard on you. He goes, but they cared about the players. Yeah. They care about you. And he said, you know what? I had to change, man. He goes, I had to show these guys my other side. And he, you know, that was the question I asked him today, Jerry. It was because so many former Buffalo Bills now are coming out and saying, hey, you know what? we trust this guy, not just as a coach. We trust him as a man. And Jerry, that's huge, bro.
Yeah.
That's huge, man. You know, and I, that's why I asked him that, you know, like, what was, you know, how did you establish that? Because, you know, a lot of players, they trust you. Okay, he knows his X's and O's, right, Jerry? But as a person, they're like, yeah, you know,
right.
this freaking guy, you know, this guy, you know, all right, maybe he knows football, but he's a real asshole, you know?
Right.
But so when a Stephen Diggs comes out and says, I love him, I trust him in my life, and I trust him as a person, you know, Diggs could be a little, you know, Diggs could be a little salty,
yeah,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right.
And you see guys like that, and you know, so, and he said, he goes, I started caring about these guys.
Yeah.
It's not just about football. It's about their families, their wives, their kids. Water heaters in their house. It could be anything, he said, you know? So he adjusted. He adjusted with that. And with the Buffalo Bills, the first few years with Josh Allen, everybody thought Josh Allen was a bust.
Yeah, his first year was not good, guys. I mean, I think his completion percentage was like 53% or something like that. And he was erratic, man. He was exactly what we thought he was coming out of Wyoming.
So, you know, Dable said, he goes, you know what? I have to adjust to what this kid does well.
Yeah.
I have to adjust the way I'm, you know? Yeah. I have to adjust. And that's what he did with Josh Allen. He adjusted a lot of different things. Played his strengths. Everything. Make him, go ahead, extend plays. Structured runs.
Yeah.
Got him some weapons. You know? And now Josh Allen is one of the best. So, I like that, Jerry. I like a guy that's, you know, stands up and goes, hey, I had to change things up.
Yeah.
Which means, Jerry, he's going to come here now, and he might start off doing something with, argument's sake, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And he's going to see, hey, you know what? That ain't working. I have to do this.
Yeah.
I have to do that. You know, Galladay, nah, you know, no. I don't like, you know, we have to do this. I have to adjust. After a game, two games, whatever it might be next season, two games, he's going to look at it, Dave, and go, okay, no, I gotta change this up.
Yeah.
We got to start doing this scheme to get Galladay more targets or get him. You know what I mean? So that's the positive, Jerry, of everything, that this guy is willing to change it up, not just X's and O's, but personality and realizing that, hey,
yeah,
I don't know it all. You know, I have to make adjustments because I failed these guys last game.
Right.
You know, or whatever it might be. Or we scored 13 points against a 31st ranked team. That's ridiculous.
Right.
So I got to do this now, next game. Or I got to look at what the hell I'm doing. You know? So I think that's a positive, Jerry, that really came out of an impression I got from Dable today, from the presser, you know? So.
Yeah, he kind of referred to it a few times about gaining players' trust. You have to like that. And look, what I liked about it also was there wasn't a magic... He didn't give a magic answer to anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was just very upfront. Like, look, I got to come in here and work hard and gain these guys' trust. And he talked about being, you know, gaining their trust. And to your point, the story you just told, you have to love to hear that because there is no button you can press here to fix things. It's going to be a longer process. I just like the honesty that he kind of brought forth, that it wasn't just, there wasn't going to be a magic response to anything to fix all this. So I like that from a fan's perspective. I thought that was a huge positive for me.
Yeah, somebody even asked him today. You know, the Bengals were a 2-win team a couple years ago.
Right.
A 4-win team last year. Can you guys be the Bengals next year? I mean, and he was like, guys, we're just trying to get better.
Right.
I have to assess everybody on this team.
Right.
I haven't even picked a staff yet.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a great answer.
You know, yeah, I mean, you know, people are asking him about, you know, being the Bengals next year. I mean, everybody, of course, that's everybody's goal, you know, to try to turn it around. But very rarely there's a 4-win team next year. It's been done, don't get me wrong. But very rarely is a 4-win team going to the Super Bowl, you know, the next year. So he wasn't going to say something like, well, look, I think if we do a few things, we have a good shot at that. That's like,
imagine
that's
that.
Like, I mean,
you imagine know, if like, he heard that, he's like, oh no, who'd we pick?
You know.
Yeah.
So he was forthright with that, Jerry. You know, like Joe Shane, same thing. You know,
yeah.
Hey, we're gonna stick to our process, and we're gonna try to get this better, and make sure we're going forward next year. You know,
right?
And there's no playoffs or bust. I think somebody even asked that. What did Mara tell you? Did Mara say he wants a play? You know, no, Mara doesn't say that. Not his first year. Mara looks at it like, What does Mara want? He said it the other day. He wants progress. He doesn't want a 4-win team again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, he just wants a team. At the end of the year, you say, okay. You know, after the first year with Judge, everybody was like, okay, we're going forward. And then that went down the you-know-what ball. And it all fell apart.
Right.
You know? So that's the goal. And then make no bones about it, Jerry. Look, they're going to have to make a lot of tough decisions. Joe Shane was on Sirius XM the other day. And he said, I'm looking to free up like $40 million.
Yeah, right.
Jerry, he's not going to be able to do that. I already looked, you know, I'm looking at the rosters, the contracts, everybody. You could free up some million, you know, you could free up money here and there. But the point being is that there's going to be some tough decisions, dude.
Yeah.
And these guys got to roll up their sleeves and make some tough decisions. And it's not going to be easy. It's not like, you know, these guys are inheriting $50 million over the under the cap.
Right.
You know what I mean, Jerry?
Right. And you're going to have to eat some dead money. And that, it is what it is. This isn't as easy as just letting go of Evan Ingram. That's an easy one. There's other decisions like, I'll just say it, James Bradbury, guys like that. Dory Jackson. I looked at the list, probably the same list as you did, Chris. And it's daunting, but this is what they signed up for. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. It's going to be a lot of restructuring. I was talking to somebody last night, and we were talking about, like, you know, hey, guys like Dory, James, you know, a lot of restructured contracts. Couple guys are going to get cut.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to eat up a little dead money. You're going to get some, you know, cap savings there. But there's going to be Jerry, I don't think there's any question. There's going to be, two, three, four guys. You're going to have to start restructuring, move around, you know, the way they do that bonus money, whatever the hell they do there to free up cap space.
Yep.
And Kevin Abrams, you know, is going to be there
with
Joe Shane trying to figure this out.
Right.
Know?
Right.
You know, but Shane said today that Abrams, you know, has been a big help to him, and he's going to keep him, you know. And Abrams even said, you know, Shane even says, he goes, you know, if you don't want to make me assistant GM, fine, but, you know, I still got a position here, and I'm here to help you, man, you with this cap and the numbers and all that. And Shane made it, he was adamant. Shane goes, you know, Abrams is going nowhere. We're keeping him.
Yeah, yep.
Because he's been a big help in a lot of other things, you know, so. You know, it's going to be a lot of tough decisions, bro. They got to clear up a lot of space, man. You know, they're not going to be aggressive, obviously, in free agents. So they're going to have to draft well, you know. But I love the story. You know, somebody asked Joe Shane. Joe Shane spoke with us, too, on the side today.
Yeah.
And I love the story about, you know, somebody asked him about, you know, how was it with you and Dable when you guys, you know, and Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Bills, how was it, you know, around this time of year when you put up your draft board? And Joe Shane said, he goes, Dable was a big part of that.
Yeah.
He says he found guys. He said when he was in Miami, Jerry, when Shane and Dable were together in Miami, he says Dable came up with some guys they drafted like third, fourth round that contributed to them.
Yeah.
And that was all Dable.
Right.
And then he mentioned, he says, look at Gabriel Davis.
Yeah.
Because we drafted him, I think it was the fourth round, he said. I forget. Third or fourth round, Davis was. And he says, Joe Shane says, that was Brian Dable.
Right.
And he goes, and you guys saw what he did in the playoff game. He had 200 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, this is a kid that's really starting, you know, to come into his own.
Right.
And he was crediting Dable for that. He says, Dable is the type of guy. He looks at guys, and he sniffs out this talent.
Right.
And, Jerry, that's something this organization hasn't had, bro.
Yep.
Middle round guys, you know.
Oh, and forever, Chris. Forever.
Say for argument's sake, Jerry, you know, Patrick Graham gets his Viking job. Well, they're going to get another number three pick.
Yeah, I think they get two more picks, a third and something else.
Is it two this year? I believe it's one this year and one the next.
I'm not sure. I know they get a third. They get another one. I'm not sure if it's this year or next year, but go ahead.
I thought it was one this year and one next, but I could be wrong on that. Yeah. Anyway, they're going to get two more picks.
Yeah.
Third round picks, whatever it is, right? Because of the Rooney rule, whatever, you know, whatever the hell that rule is. I'm not exactly sure the whole damn rule.
Yeah.
But I know the Giants are going to, if Patrick gets the Viking job.
Right.
You know? So, you know, you're looking at 10 picks next year. You're going to have middle round picks. And, hey, excuse me. You know, you got a guy like Dable who's had success in these third, fourth, fifth rounds with. That's a positive sign, Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's not like Joe Shane's going to sit there like, you know, I'm the emperor and all that, you know, so.
Yep.
You know, so.
Good stuff.
I think our special guest is rolling in.
All right, guys, we will take a break right now and be right back with our special guest. Hang on 1 second, guys. All right, guys, and we're back. And we have with us a special guest, the editor of Bill's Digest. Think Giant Insider, except Bill's Digest. Mark Ludwizak. Mark, thanks so much for joining, man, because I know you have a lot of information you can give us right now that Giants Nation will be very interested in hearing, my friend.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Mark, welcome aboard, buddy. You know, thanks for coming on and giving us a few minutes. Obviously, Mark, you know, today Brian had his presser with us, you know, and he came off as I was just talking with Jerry about it before you came on. He came off as a guy that, and I've been tweeting about this, that you go to a bar, have some beers, and say, "Have I want to kick some ass tonight before we leave the bar?" You know, yeah. And he was talking to us about having beers and we're going to get together. You know what? I didn't sense any phoniness with the guy at all. He just seems like a down-to-earth, personable dude. Mark, tell me. I mean, am I wrong here?
No, I think you're spot on. I think he's a very genuine guy. I can say, just from our dealings with him in the media, he's the type of guy who, when the cameras were off, would stick around and spin some jokes and talk to somebody about a cigar bar he liked nearby. You know, I mean, and he wouldn't be afraid to shoot the stuff, you know. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a good dude. Obviously, he's got, you know, a heavy lift ahead of him there, but I was amazed. Yeah, and, you know, and we'll get to that, of course. But I was amazed he didn't get a head coaching job last year. I've covered a lot of terrible Bills teams and a lot of terrible Bills offenses over the years, and the job that he did here in just completely turning this offense around and turning Josh Allen into not just a great quarterback, but one of the best players in the league, was just incredible. And I think he's been ready for this opportunity for a long time now. So I think it's well deserved. And I think he's a good dude. I wish him the best out there.
Mark, Jerry, just 1 second, bud. Jump in there. Mark, the question a lot of Giant fans want to know, want the answer to is, was Brian Daboll a better coach once Stephen Diggs got there and Josh Allen improved and all that? I'm just telling you, a lot of people ask me this, Mark. Well, is he just the product of the environment? You know, now he only became a really good coach when Josh took off, Diggs came over there, you know, and all that. Tell us, Mark, how did he change his offense around?
I admire his coaching philosophy. And again, I'll try not to just bring up Bill's ghosts of the past, but I've covered a lot
go ahead,
of terrible.
It's fine.
But for reference's sake, I've covered a lot of terrible offensive coordinators before. Again, you guys know how it is. So you can tell the bad ones from the good ones, particularly at the offensive coordinator spot. And even when Daboll you know how fans can be. Even say after a bad game, over the last couple of years, and you know, people on Twitter would go after him, whatever. I just thought it was just asinine because it was like, do you remember some of the coordinators we had, or the Bills had before him? It was just like of course a guy can have a bad game or whatnot, but
sure.
I just think he's a great coach, and I don't think, of course, the offense was better after you added one of the best receivers in the league and then developed Josh Allen into one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but. Daboll was great his entire time here in dealing with what he had, and his big MO, and you guys will now hear it week in and week out over the next couple of years, almost to a fault, but he truly believes this. It's not just lip service. He wants to run the best game plan that it takes to win. He will mold he'll say this verbatim. I guarantee you guys will hear this. If we need to run it 50 times to win, we'll run it 50 times to win. If we need to pass it 50 times to win, we need to pass it 50 times to win. He is not married to one philosophy or the other. This is not Mike Mularkey coming in and saying, this is our offense, you better learn it, damn it, and we're running it this way. No, he's going to mold it to the players that he has. He's malleable. He's open-minded in that regard. For example, we all know how Josh Allen is fantastic as a dual threat player. He can run the ball, he can pass the ball, he can do all that. Over time, they just kept incorporating that stuff into the offense. When Isaiah McKenzie was in the game, they're incorporating more jet sweeps and different plays than when Cole Beasley's in the game. I mean, he will do what he can to tailor the offense to the players that he has, and he's not set in his ways, and I think that's his biggest strength as a coach, and I think that really led to success here in Buffalo and makes him a good, you know, coach anywhere. Yeah.
Mark, a few things. Well, I'll break a rule that Dable said today. You can't ask more than one question, but 3 points. First, our heartfelt condolences of what happened 2 weeks ago. That had to be brutal, just covering the team from that standpoint. So, first off. Second, how long have you been with Bill's Digest to give us a kind of a time frame as to how many coordinators you've seen over the years? And then third, do you feel like this is a, you know, the Bills franchise feel like this is a huge loss with Dable that will be compounded if Dorsey comes along as well? Like, what's the sense there, if you can answer that?
To start, I'll start with that last one. Yeah, I think there is significant concern because Dable was a huge, huge piece of the puzzle here and a huge...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Reason, I mean, one of the biggest reasons for the turnaround and the success here, again, when you factor in Sean McDermott is the head coach, but he has a primarily defensive background. I'm not saying he doesn't have a hand in the offense, because he really does pride himself on not just being, you know, one side of the ball coach, but clearly this was Dayball's engine on offense. So I think Bills fans do have some concern about Dorsey potentially leaving and all that. At the end of the day, I think they still have a lot of solace in knowing Josh Allen is their quarterback.
Sure.
And
fair
I mean,
enough.
You know, he's one of the top three guys in the league, I'd say, right now at that position. And I think he could overcome a lot of coaching issues. But yeah, I think it's a fair concern amongst Bills fans right now. I would need to go back and look at Wikipedia to see how many offensive coordinators I covered here in Buffalo, because there's been, I mean, countless. I've been covering the team full-time since 2006. So, you know, it was a revolving door of coaches and coordinators for a long time there. And once they found a guy like Dayball, it was clear that he was their guy, you know, until he was going to get a head coaching job, because he was just...
Yeah, we know what that's like now with the revolving door for the past few years, so we feel you right now. Yeah.
Well, Ian Rappaport just put on Twitter that you're getting Jason Garrett, Mark, next year.
That's a joke, I assume.
Mark, come on. Mark, lighten up, buddy. Lighten up. I'm only breaking your jokes.
That would be something. That would be grounds for dismissal. Sean McDermott, we wish him well in his future endeavors.
I got to be honest. I stared straight ahead because I was like, "Wow, is that Chris? You sold it well." I was like,
"That was I
wait, what? I'm sorry, Mark. I know you deal with a lot of shit the last week. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself." Okay, Mark.
That was great. Yeah,
Mark. I got to ask you this, and this is what impressed me about Brian. The second half of the year. And he admitted this, Brian, and Mark, you know better than me, so you tell me.
Sure.
They got away from Singletary a lot. And Brian admitted, hey, we got to get Devin more involved here. It seemed like he made that adjustment down the stretch, especially the last few games, right, Mark, where Devin Singletary was more involved. So the point I'm making, Mark, you tell me, because you know better than me, bud. He seems to be a coach that will make adjustments, right? Not just like, all right, well, we're going to make Josh throw it 40 times, and you know, that's the game plan. And no, it seems like it's like he realized maybe some of the things he wasn't doing. And, hey, I got to give Josh a break here. I got to get Devin. I got to get Zach Moss. I got to get guys more involved, especially Singletary. He's a talented kid. You know, yeah. We got to get these guys more involved. I saw that, and I always look for stuff like that, Mark. Like, how are these coaches adjusting? You know, tell me, Mark, did you see that a lot, too? Is he a type of guy you say, hey, this coach adjusts. He makes changes on the fly and all that. Tell me, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's his number one strength as an open-minded coordinator. Again, I'm sure you guys will hear it a lot. It just, I mean, I would laugh when we'd hear it every week because he was steadfast in his philosophy of, I'm going to do what it takes to win. If I need to run 50 times, if I need to pass 50 times, he doesn't care. He's not looking to goose his stats in order, you know, he doesn't need to pass. You know, I've got Josh Allen. Oh, I need to get a head coaching job. We need to throw it at some amount of time. He doesn't care. It's one of those games where they need to run the ball, where they need to pass the ball. That's what he's going to do. I think the Singletary point, I think there's two parts to that. I think he did realize that it would help. But it's funny. I can say, I mean, he was pressed a lot on that earlier in the year when they weren't running the ball.
And he was, huh? He was.
Yeah, right. by media here. And right. Again, and that's why I go back to that quote that he would say all the time because it would be kind of humorous. And it wasn't that, oh, we need to run the ball. It was, if we need to run the ball, if that's what they're showing us, we're going to run the ball. So right. I don't think it was necessarily a conscious effort to say we need to be a balanced offense. I think it was, if that's what's best for us, we're going to do it. And then I'll also say, I mean, Singletary, he was a completely different player over those final 7 weeks or so of the season than he was at the start of the year. So, I can't blame Brian Daboll. If Singletary was running like he did in the first three quarters of the season, never run the ball. What's the point? You've got Josh Allen. You've got Stephon Diggs. If it's working, stick with that. Then all of a sudden, Singletary just completely turned it on. I mean, he had one run at the end of the year. I thought he looked – it was like a spitting image of Thurman Thomas. It was just like, where did this guy come from? He didn't run like this his first, whatever, 2.5 years as a Bill. Yeah, give the guy the damn ball. And then that – compounded itself because when you're playing well, he's gonna, you know, emphasize you more. So I don't think it was an effort to say, we need balance, because again, if their best chance to win is throwing it 100 times, he's gonna throw it 100 times. But if their best chance to win against a defense that is terrible on the run, they're gonna run it 50 times. So I think that's truly one of his best assets as a coach, doing whatever, you know, the game plan calls.
Mark, right now it's a love fest with Daboll. I mean, he hit it out of the park today. Came across very genuine. Giant fans are excited to have an offensive mind in the building now, a real offensive mind, especially after what we've seen the last couple of years. Is there anything where you could say it's kind of a weakness for Daboll? Like, is there anything he sticks to too much? Are there any tendencies that you've seen over the years that you say, well, if there's one flaw, this is it?
You know, that's a good question. Not off the top of my head.
Perfect. We'll cut it there.
Well,
he's perfect.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like any offensive coordinator, I mean, he would get hammered at times if they lose or whatever. There were times year. Yeah, and that's what I go back to. I mean, there were times this year. This was not a perfect season. The Bills after that loss to Jacksonville. I mean, I'm going to say that again. The Bills, after that, they lost to the Jaguars this year, and I mean, they still were one of the best teams in the league. But there
were times
where he would get hammered. And again, to me, I think perspective was key. It was like, okay, every great coach or coordinator or quarterback has some bad games. I don't think, you know, but there were people, and Daboll, you know, there were the handful of them on Twitter. Oh, he's got to go. It's like, no, come on. Take a deep breath. He's a great coach. Great coaches have, you know, bad. So again, it might not be smooth sailing. I know the situation over there. They don't have Josh Allen right there in New York right now. So there might be some of those times. But I think he's a good coach. I was amazed he wasn't hired as a head coach last year. I think his resume has earned him this opportunity. Just full bore.
Mark, I asked him a question today after he broke my chops saying I was from South Carolina. I guess as soon as I opened my mouth, he heard the New York accent, so he decided to break my chops a little bit. And then
Chris, I just got another text on it live from a buddy. So
did you? Yeah, I got him a little bit, you know, afterwards on his side. But, Mark, you know, I asked him a question about trust. And so many of you guys up there, former players now, former players, even Stefan Diggs, who could be, as you know, a little salty at times. Even he was talking about, hey, I trust this guy. Forget about coach. I trust him as a man. You know, I asked him that today. I asked Dave, you know, how did he establish that? He gave his answer, you know, about, you know, treating people like it. So, Mark, you're around the team. You're around the players. Is that smoke? Are these guys just blowing smoke up people's water? Or is that real, man?
Excuse me. No, that relationship is real. I mean, he's the type of guy that would bust somebody's chops, I'll say, in a text message at 11 at night. You know, he's still their coach, but I mean, I would say he and Josh Allen are as tight as a coach-quarterback relationship could be. I think John Feliciano would say, you know, that Daboll would send them a text, you know, just out of nowhere, just shooting stuff and making a joke or whatever. I mean, I think he's a personable, likable guy. Like I said, I mean, he would shoot the stuff with us after press conferences, and even the summer and all the COVID stuff, when we were allowed all to be out there. I mean, he'd be laughing and saying something with us afterwards. I'm not saying that's the end-all be-all for a coach, but I think he is a people person. As you guys know, not all coaches are people. You know, that is not a... I mean, we joked about Garrett earlier. I mean, come on. I remember some of the things he'd say just from the press conferences I'd see. And to me, Daboll is, I don't want to say polar opposite, but I mean, he's a likable guy. I mean, for better or worse, I think he is a people person, and I think that helps him as a coordinator and a coach.
Mark, you think that's going to really help him down here? Because, as you know, this could be a very rough media market. So you think that personality is going to really help down here?
I think it can. And now again, if he goes 0-5, that, you know, I know how that things can go. I covered Rhett's Ryan here. I mean, I remember, you know, like things can go. You know, Rhett's was a blast to cover up until things hit the fan, and then it was you know that it was game on. And you know, New York fans and media and pundits know that all too well. So results are at the end of the day, you know, what's, you know, going to lead to him succeeding or failing there, but. I think bottom line, he's a good coach. Whether this ends up great or poorly or somewhere in the middle, I think he's a good coach who's deserving of this opportunity.
Mark, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Giants offense has been a mess for a couple of years now. The offensive line has been, they need about three or four maybe new players there to start. From the outside looking in, who's going to benefit the most from this hire on offense? I mean, I guess the easy answer would be Daniel Jones, but I was just wondering if you had a different opinion on that.
I mean, for the Giants' sake, I hope that is the case. I personally don't know about Daniel Jones. That's just me.
Right.
I think that's how everybody should be looking at this right now, and, you know, objectively looking at it from the outside. But I think Brian, again, I mean, I don't want to sound like a, you know, broken record, but I do think his strength is tailoring what he wants to do to the players that he has. So I think he'll look to maybe do some things differently. He'll evaluate Daniel Jones and change the system to ideally put him in a better position than he was in the last couple of years. Again, will that work? I don't know. But I think that's his biggest strength. And again, and then I could even go to a bigger picture point. With Joe Shane going in there, if they follow the Brandon Bean philosophy, and again, we didn't talk to like Shane on a regular basis.
Sure.
I'd be lying if I said I knew his personal, you know, beliefs down to a core. But to take a page out of what they did here in Buffalo with Brandon Bean, that first year, Josh Allen got the absolute crap kicked out of him because they had no offensive line. So what did they do the next year? They got, I think, 4 out of 5 new offenses. It might have been 5. I don't even remember. But it was wholesale changes. They just completely changed the offensive line, saying, look, we got our quarterback. We cannot get him killed. That's what we need to do. So going into Josh Allen's second year, that's they had a specific plan. We need to do that. Okay, then what do you need to do after that? Well, we need a number one receiver. We're going to trade for Stephon Diggs. So there was a very precise plan. And, I mean, I think as far as a general manager, Brandon Bean, approach, that with Joe Shane working obviously very closely with him, that was the plan in Buffalo, to piece by piece surround Josh Allen and do what they needed to do to take the offense up another level and then another level. And it was a very methodical, smart plan. It just made sense on paper. Did every pick work? No. Cody Ford has been a complete bust, and he was a high second-round pick. Do most of the picks work? Yeah, they hit on most of them. And it's just turned things around, and I would imagine they'll take a similar approach out there with that.
Mark, what I liked about you guys, like, your starting right tackle, the kid Brown out there this year, I didn't even have him on the radar at draft time. I got to be honest with you. Maybe I missed it. Yeah. I don't know, Mark, but when I see draft picks like that, and then you go out, you get Dow Williams slides over to guard when Feliciano gets hurt, the whole deal. Mark, when I see draft picks like that and a guy starting a right tackle and contributing, that's always a big positive to me. Like, these guys are finding talent. And today, Joe Shane was talking to us, Mark, and he said Gabriel Davis, a kid that had a monster game, right, for you guys. 4 touchdowns, 200 yards, the whole deal. He said, Joe Shane says that was Dable's guy. He says he's the one that discovered him. He said, this guy right here, I want this kid. What was it, a third-round pick, Mark, or fourth-round pick, Gabriel?
Fourth-round
pick. And Joe said today to us, he says, that was Dable. He's the one who found him. He's the one who wanted him, I should say, Mark?
Yeah.
So you look at that, and that's positives to me, Mark. Those middle-round guys that are found and that contribute to your team is big. And so it seems like, Mark, this guy's got a knack for finding talent. Is that what you heard up there a lot, Mark?
It's funny. I didn't even know that Davis story, but I believe it. Because, I think you're talking about a guy in Brian Dable who, he's got that. He spent how many years in New England? In a variety of roles. So he's got the Belichick DNA in him. He was in Alabama. He's got some of that Nick Saban in him. And now he's got some of that McDermott learning tree in him. So I think he's a bright football mind. I think he knows his stuff. Again, will it all be perfect? No, it won't. But I truly think he knows his stuff. Yeah.
Mark, I guess Brian, when the time need be, it could be a pretty tough guy too, right? On his players. There's a lot of tough love going on. Does he know when to crack the whip when he has to?
Yeah, I think he knows how. Yeah, I think if he has to, but he's not. I wouldn't say he's like a militant coach. I'm sure there's a certain, when stuff hits the fan, this is how we're going to do it. But I think he prides himself on having strong relationships with his players. This is not Tom Coughlin coming in here. This is a guy who, again, Josh Allen talks about him like a father figure. They are as tight as can be. He's not the only one. I think he understands these are adults. I'm not going to treat them like they're kids. We're going to, at the end of the day, it's the onus falls on him. But I don't think he's a, I'm not saying he's going to be too buddy-buddy. I don't think that's the case, but I think he prides himself on having tight relationships with his players. And in Buffalo, I think it clearly helped.
I'll ask you an off-table question. That's what I was going to ask you before. Sure. When you drafted Josh Allen, the first year was kind of up and down. When did you realize you had the guy with him? At what point was it? Year two? Was there a specific game? The reason I ask that question is because we're still trying to figure out with Daniel Jones. And John Mara the other day said, look, we couldn't do more to screw this kid up. And a lot of that's true because of the offensive line, the different coordinators. I'm just curious from your point of view, when was the feeling that you had the guy? And part two of that, how much did Dable kind of help that along?
Yeah, well, there were flashes, but he was very... it's funny. You go back, it's such an interesting trajectory when you go back to Josh Allen's NFL career. He wasn't supposed to start that first year. They wanted to bring him along slowly. Then a guy named Nathan Peterman went out and threw 400 interceptions in that first game, and that's they had no choice but to turn to Allen, probably before he was completely ready.
Right.
But I give him credit. I mentioned it earlier. I mean, he got beat up that first year. The offensive line, he was not in an ideal position to succeed. But, I mean, I've seen so many other, E.J. Manuel, Lossman, all those guys, so many other quarterbacks who just clearly weren't mentally ready for it.
Lossman was the same draft as Manning, right?
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, again, and he's another guy who had, I mean, he threw the prettiest practice ball I've ever seen in my life.
Still throws
one of the best deep balls I've ever seen in my life. I mean, to make the Daniel Jones comparison, they did not put him in a position. You know, like, I think with all these young passers, they're lottery tickets, and there are so many variables, whether they're going to succeed or not. A guy might have a 20% chance, a 40% chance, and then it's on the surroundings to make him a proper NFL. And then once you hit, you hit, and once you fail, you fail. And with Josh Allen, there were moments, brief moments as a rookie. The big moment that everybody remembers was in Minnesota. They were, I think, a record. It was like a 13.5-point underdog or whatever going into that game. And then he hurdled Anthony Barr and led the Bills to this upset win. And it was like, okay, there's something there. It might not be, you know, we'll see, but there's something. And then they would do maybe a little more running with him. And you say, okay, there's something. He's got that. That event, I mean, the big turnaround for Josh was when he eventually, people said it couldn't be done, but he corrected his accuracy issues. I mean, it was just the guy went from being a big play guy who was inconsistent on a down-in, down-out basis to a guy who all of a sudden was accurate. And then you add that to his poise, his personality, his unbelievable ability to study a crazy amount of film. And I mean, the one thing we can point to now that teams got wrong with Josh Allen, that the Bills got right, were his commitment. And I mean, again, people say it, people talk the talk in that regard. He walked the walk. I'm going to study a crazy amount of film. I'm going to spend all offseason correcting what needs to be corrected. You know, that's the one thing other teams got wrong about Josh Allen and underestimated. So there were flashes early on. The big key was turning around his accuracy, but I think Daboll had just a tremendous effort in turning that around and tailoring the offense to what Josh does well.
I was going to say real quick, accuracy is usually tough for a kid to go from college to the pros to improve that. That's not easy. I mean, arm strength, you can't, you have it or you don't.
Yeah.
But accuracy is like number two.
Well, yeah,
like,
I mean, and people pointed at the time, they said, I mean, it just historically didn't happen often.
Right.
And Josh Allen is a bit of an aberration in that regard. But he did. I mean, I laughed because but he did it. So it's like, you know, I always view all these prospects, again, as percentages. You know, it's like they are variables. There are, if, I don't even want to pick a name of the past, but I mean, if Josh Allen, let's say he goes to a team without Brian Daboll, let's say he went to Jacksonville a couple of years ago or whatever, you know, it's like he might not be he might have been a bust.
Right.
Let's say if Patrick Mahomes doesn't end up in, I mean, you know, who knows?
Right.
If Daniel Jones ends up in Buffalo day one, maybe he's, you know, I think that's always a misconception with prospects in general. That these guys are variables because the college game may to Joe Fan look similar, but it's so different. I mean, it's just, you know, especially at that position. So, long story short, I just think Daboll did a tremendous job in bringing Josh Allen along and then tailoring the offense to what he does best.
Mark, just talk about Ken Dorsey a little bit. You know, is Sean McDermott going to promote him to OC? Is that what you're hearing? And are you hearing he's staying? I mean, the Giants, from what I understand, trying to throw some money in his face there, Mark, and trying to get him down here. What are you hearing up there?
That's what it looks like. It's funny. I mean, the Bills, it's funny. You would hear things before, but ever since Sean McDermott and those guys came in charge, I mean, they are tremendous at not letting that stuff out. So, as far as what's happening there, I mean, I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything reported from any of my media friends up here. They are tremendous at keeping that stuff in-house. Which is a huge change because they were Leak City before, you know, Sean McDermott was in charge.
Okay.
So I wish I had a huge thing there. I don't off the top of my head. I think, I think Dorsey will have his pick, whether he wants to be the coordinator in New York or he wants to be the coordinator in Buffalo. I think there are clear benefits to both. The benefit in Buffalo would be he would be the coordinator for Josh Allen, quarterbacks in the league. That's a good spot to be in as an up-and-coming offensive coordinator who is looking to progress your career to the next level. At the same time, I think Brian Daboll's a great coach. You're looking for a fresh start and an opportunity there and probably a whole hell of a lot of money. There's good, you know, positives to that job, too. So I think he'll end up as the coordinator. I don't know where it will be. I'll be stunned if he's not the coordinator in one of these two teams.
Well, Mark, listen, man, we want to thank you for coming on. You've been really generous with your time, giving us a lot of great information on hopefully the next, winning coach here in New York. Mark, where can people find your work, bud?
Sure. Bill's Digest, like you said, just like Giants Insider, we just printed our mid-season interview issue late last night, so that's out on newsstands and at the various, Madster and iTunes sites where you can get PDFs. I'm on Twitter at MarkLud12. If you like the Bills, check out Bills Digest, just like you would Giants Insider.
Yeah. Mark, before I let you go, you got any good stories, inside stories on Daboll that I can hit him with where he looks at me and go, because I gotta get him back now. This damn thing is viral. He said I sound like I was from South Carolina. Everybody's talking tweeting. So, Mark, come on. You got a good inside story where I can hit him with it where he'll look at me and go, hey, Chris, where the hell did you hear that from?
Real quick, Chris, someone just sent us a TikTok of it, so I just saw it on my phone.
Anything, Mark? Anything good? Anything juicy?
TikTok famous. I went, not off the top of my head. I'll say this honestly. I would use that and build off that. You know, like he's the type of guy where he will remember what he said to you and what you said to him that first time, and you can build something off that. And really, I think he's a likable people person. I wish him the best. I think he's a good coach. Whether this works out or not, I still think he's a good coach. You know, so we've seen other coordinators go to places and have great success or bomb completely. You know, some circumstances sometimes happen, but I think he's a good coach. I think the Giants got a good one, and I think you guys will have fun covering him because he's that kind of guy. You'll have fun with him at press conferences and whatnot.
Awesome,
Mark. Thank you very much, my man.
Anytime. Good to talk to you guys.
Appreciate it, Mark.
We'll talk down the road, Mark. Thank you, brother.
Sounds good. Anytime. Take care.
See you, man.
Take care.
Good stuff. Well, that was good, man. Got a lot of info. That was I'm excited. You know, like you said, until you start playing, you don't know. But, the early results are in, and hopefully we got the right guy, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry, that's the hope that we don't have to do this every 2 years, bro. I was talking with Schwartz today. He hit it right in the head. He goes, man, this is becoming monotonous. You know, every 2 years. So that's the hope, Jerry. Everybody's excited now, and everybody should be excited.
Yeah.
Until it's time not to be excited. And hopefully that time not to be excited doesn't come, bro.
Yeah.
I think it's really time that this organization becomes relevant again.
And stable.
And you know what, Jerry? Joe Shane said it last week, and we'll talk just a few minutes before we sign off. Mm-hmm. A lot of people felt, when Shane was being interviewed, when Daboll was being interviewed by the Dolphins, a lot of people, you see it on Twitter, what the hell you want to come to the Giants for? Right. What the hell you want to come to the Giants for? Who? Dolphins, they got Tua, they got this guy, that guy.
Who he coached before, yeah.
What about this? This organization's... But you hear what they said, both of them? Shane was like, hey, this is the New York Giants, man.
Right.
This is the...
It still means something.
Yeah. It's still... Even though all the crap that's been going on, right?
Yeah.
And then Daboll said it today. He's like... Somebody asked about why he took the job or something like that. And he was like, what? I said, this is the Giants calling me, man. This is a prestigious organization. He goes... It was like a no... He basically was saying it was like a no-brainer today.
Because if you turn it around, Chris, as well as I do.
It's a better place to win. Yeah.
You're a legend. You're a legend for the rest of your life. More than anywhere else, any other city, I don't care what anybody says. It's just different. It is.
Yeah.
And the love affair that Giants fans have with this franchise, I mean, especially what they've been going through for about 10 years now. If you can turn this around,
Yeah. So, you know, to answer that, you know, I noticed when they were going to the GM search and then obviously the head coach search, a lot of people like, you know, what the hell you want to come here for? You know, Daniel Jones is a question mark. Oh, he stinks. Oh, you don't even have a quarterback. And, well, you know, you got your answer, man. You know, from Joe Shane, and you got your answer from Brian Daboll today that, hey, this is the Giants we're talking about now. You know?
Yeah.
So, Jerry, you know what? Hopefully these two guys get this organization back to where they were.
Yep.
Where people talked about the Giants and said, oh, man, that's a friggin' organization.
Right.
I mean, that's a winning, you know, they got a winning product out there. They're doing it the right way. Because this, as we know, Jerry, this organization has gotten away from that, brother.
Yeah.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
And now you hope these two guys get it back on track.
And for those wondering, Mark told us he had a lot of interaction with Daboll guys. He did not have that much with Shane, just because of Shane's position there.
Yeah.
That's why we had more of the questions about Daboll guys, just in case you were wondering. But good stuff, dude. Anything else, pal?
No, that's it, man. So we'll see what happens, brother.
So now, when you introduce yourself to Daboll, you got to say, Chris Gamecocks Pisignano from Giant Insider.
Right. Brian Daboll does not know the can of worms he has opened up with me.
It's going to be awesome.
Wait till we're around each other every day when training camp starts. It's going to be quite a show.
Should be fun,
It's going to be fun.
Should be awesome.
He likes to break chops. He already opened the door breaking my chops. And now I'm going to hit him with that New York humor. I'm going to break his chops, you know. So, but, you know, it's just all in fun.
Fun stuff.
All in fun. Yeah. Of course, you know, if you're playing well, that crap flies, you know. Hopefully we don't get to that point, Jerry, where it's like, like Mark said, you know, 0-5, now it's a different story. You know,
right,
so.
Right, right. Jokes aren't funny anymore.
Jokes aren't funny anymore. There's no more jokes when you're 0-5. You know, it's 0-2.
Like, I'm not from South Carolina, dude. I'm from Brooklyn. Yeah. Here's my friggin' question.
Yeah. So, but no, I think it's going to be, a pretty good guy to cover. And hopefully, you know, the progress is there, turning it around, and everybody has a good time, and he keeps it light. And, you know, and he doesn't come on Wednesday afternoon and explain the other team for like an hour, you know.
Right. Good point.
People don't
believe it at that.
And people follow George's presses every Wednesday, know what the hell I'm talking about. So.
Ooh, oh my God. Good stuff, buddy. All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys. Sundays are Giant Days, baby. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.